Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And Joe, I always try to do my voice so it sounds like one of those, you know, voiceover guys.
Like a Vincent Price commercial type of thing.
Well, no, you know, the commercial ads.
Oh, the In a World guy.
Yeah, well, from the 80s and the 70s. Like, I always wanted to do a voice like the guy who did the commercial for Halloween. Yeah. Halloween. You know, and like on the Blu-ray, you know, you can always see they always include the original TV spot, you know. And that guy has got such a good voice.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm capable of doing that.
I could probably do it after about six pots of coffee and six packs of cigarettes, but not right now.
Let's try that sometime.
Sure. I've got nothing better to do. Yeah.
I don't. I have nothing better to do right now. Joe, this is, I don't know if you know this, but this is a big night for us.
Huge, practically huge.
Did you clean up?
No, actually. Sure. Of course I did. Yes.
Well, I have on my lucky underwear, and you know what that means. It means we're serious business right now because this is our first guest.
First guest ever
on the CineScare podcast.
Maybe last. And we got to see how this goes.
It could be the last. It could be the last episode, actually.
But
I tell you, I don't get my lucky underwear out for anyone. Anyone.
Every episode, my lucky underwear. Cliffhanger.
What's that?
Every episode's a cliffhanger.
It is,
because you don't know if we're going to have another one. Literally.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Right. Oh, I thought you were going to say it was a cliffhanger because you didn't know if I was wearing my lucky underwear that episode.
Every day is a cliffhanger with your lucky underwear.
Okay. So, Joe, our first guest is a guy named Mr. James Oster.
Oster.
Oster,
yeah.
Oster,
it depends on who you ask, but my family calls it Oster, so I'm going with that.
Okay, Mr. James Oster. He also has an AKA, Jimmy O.
I do.
Which someday Joe and I hope to have an AKA.
Yes.
He started out in 2006 as a film reviewer at Arrow in the Head, which actually that's a website I follow. And it's a horror publication, right? Is it other genres too?
No, it's all genre. It's all horror. I mean, we do occasionally sneak in some action, and I do a regular column on there called Nick Gruff Investigates, which is a lot of fun. So that's mostly what I do there. Occasional review, mostly the other sites I work at.
Well, and then he moved on to, joeblow.com, which is I believe that's a little bigger website than Arrow in the Head, if I'm not mistaken.
They're connected. It's a sister site, so they're owned by the same. They're all owned by Burge. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Joe Blow deals with all kinds of movies, and he's one of the James or Jimmy O is one of the three major critics for that site. He also contributes to a website, We Live Entertainment, and he has conducted interviews with the biggest names in Hollywood, including Julia Roberts. These are big names, Joe. I mean, we are
they're large.
I mean, what is this? The six degrees of separation or whatever?
I know. We're all practically related. We're all Kevin Bacon.
We're practically siblings of Julia Roberts right now. Yes. Guillermo del Toro, Sylvester Stallone, Tom Hardy, also Jamie Lee Curtis, and probably a million other scream queens.
Oh yeah.
Thanks to the connections he's made, he has managed to take his love for movies to another level, and he has actually produced a couple movies. Joe, he produced The Harvesters, which was an Oklahoma horror mystery. Mm-hmm. Written by Nick Sanford, and he's the co-creator and co-host of the long form interview series Sounds Scary, which I saw on Amazon. Actually, it's available on Amazon Prime. Yeah. That's where I watched it. Is that where you watched
it, Joe?
That's
where I watched it too. Every episode, fantastic.
Nice. No, and thank it is. You. Thank
you. I really enjoy it. And actually, one of the episodes you recorded just down the street from me at Bearded Lady. Antique or vintage or Ooh. What's it? Oddities.
Yeah, the Mystic Museum. I have some stories I'll tell you about that place after a little later. It's pretty creepy.
That's the kind of thing we're looking for, is creepy stories. And actually that whole area down there, that Magnolia area, is fantastic. It's like its own little, maybe not as much since the rent started going up, but it's almost its own little genre area. There's fandom, there's horror. I mean, Halloween Town is probably, I think, the greatest store in the history of stores. Mm-hmm. And bearded lady. Dark Delicacies moved around the corner.
It's not that far. It's close, very close.
Right. That's where I did my first book signing for my first book. Nice. Was at Dark Delicacies.
I'm sure these will all be sponsors of our show any minute now.
I hope so. They better. Yes. We're plugging them. But and actually, I did my book signing next to who's the guy who wrote I Am Legend?
I don't even remember his name. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, it slips in my mind. But his son was signing for a book right next to me, and we got to talk about his dad and everything. But who Richard now Matheson? I can't remember his name. Richard Matheson.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. What else has this guy done? He's done a bunch of stuff. He also, this Something Sounds Scary is on a new streaming channel called Vidi Space.
Yes.
And that was created by Nick Groff. And I know that you are friends with Nick Groff, right? Or at least you guys work together.
Yeah, no, sometimes. I've known him for years. He's one of my best friends. He's a really amazing, amazing guy. And I adore the man. I just adore him.
He seemed like a nice guy. I commented on something you posted of his, and he responded to my comment at one point. So yeah, he seemed like a really nice guy, but he was Nick Groff. Joe, I don't know if you ever watched, Ghost Adventures. He was one of the original guys in Ghost Adventures. He went off on his own and had a couple of pretty good shows. I liked that Paranormal Lockdown was a really good show.
So good. That was like my favorite show of his, to be honest. I loved it. I wish I would, hopefully in some way. He has a new show on Vidi Space, which I highly recommend, Ghost Walker, Death Walker, which is phenomenal. I think it's his best work yet. I honestly, I love the show. And there's I think 5 episodes, I want to say, but I highly recommend, you know. And now Vidi Space, I believe you could rent a day. So instead of like paying, if you don't want to pay the whole subscription, you can like do just a day. And I know we've got another show coming up, and he's got a Death Walker coming up this Friday, a new one. So, a little plug for Nick.
Nice. He better be a sponsor for our show pretty soon too.
Or maybe a guest.
Yes. There you go.
Or a guest. Yeah. Hey, yeah, we could have him on. And also, Jimmy is also a proud and passionate member of the Hollywood Critics Association. But one thing you left out is that you're also a playwright. Because the reason I met you was several years ago. What was this, 2004, maybe, I believe?
I believe it was. Yeah, I think you're right. 2004.
Jimmy wrote a kind of, I guess, sort of a spoof-ish kind of thing of Plan 9 from Outer Space. I don't know quite it wasn't exactly Plan 9 from Outer Space on stage. It was pretty close. I mean, it was a lot of scenes, but then there were a lot of backstage scenes too from the characters. And actually that part was one of my favorite parts that I've played. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I got a good little blurb in the LA Weekly from that. Actually.
You probably did. That was a fun show. I mean, honestly, for some reason I posted something about it. About Breakfast Club. I found when I did a stage version of Breakfast Club, modernized version of that, Chris Berube, who owns that theater that we did that at, he said, you should bring that back. You should bring Grave Robbers back. So it was called Grave Robbers from Outer Space, which was basically I basically took Plan 9 from Outer Space and turned it into Naked Gun. That's what I did.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with that combination at all.
You really can't.
No. It was a lot of fun, and made some good friends doing that and everything. Do you still keep in touch with a lot of those people?
A few, yeah. I mean, right now I'm hearing from everybody because it's we're in a pandemic and no one has anything else to fucking do. Oh, can we swear? Oh, I've got an
action. Yeah. No, you're fine. Yeah. You're fine. Good. Yeah. Yeah, we're good. We just won't show it to the churches this week.
Oh.
yeah, there goes our nun demographic.
You know, actually, one of the cast members of that show, Joe Grave Robbers, he had been a forest firefighter.
And oh yeah.
Do you remember that? And his claim to fame was that he had been struck by lightning twice.
Wow. And I mean, once is enough.
Yeah. I wouldn't go back for seconds. I think that's why he quit and decided, yes, I want to be an actor. I think it was after that second one.
Smart choice.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. Oh my God. I feel so bad. I've got to look it up because now I'm like trying to remember his name, but I remember him really well.
He was a really nice guy. He was a little dazed, mm-hmm, you know,
understandable.
Completely understandable, but he was a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. But that, you know, I had a great time doing that show.
You were great in that play, by the way. I watched that. I was watching the, you know, a couple of years back, and I was just like, wow, I give myself credit for picking the right actors. And I really did. You guys were literally everyone in that cast just rocked. It was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. And it was down in Hollywood at, what was the name of that theater?
The Next Stage Theater, which I think Chris has a new theater. So okay. I was going to see it at one point and then, you know, COVID. So I didn't go.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, one of the reasons we've got you here from the beginning is that one of the thing that we do at the beginning is talk about horror movies that we've seen recently and recommend them to people. And so I'll start us off. I only watched a few. We do this show every 2 weeks, and I only watched a few this time because I also got sucked into The Crown, which I think is a pretty good season, and I've gotten into The Undoing on HBO. These aren't obviously horror related, although The Undoing is
basically a mystery. I didn't think we were allowed to watch anything except for horror films.
Well, I broke those rules.
I was about ready to check myself into a mental institution for all we've been watching. So
yeah, I know. but I did start out with a pretty good one. I liked. It's called "We Are Still Here" from 2015. This is one that's been on my radar for a while, and I don't know why I haven't watched it up to now. I think I had been told by someone it wasn't that good, and so I just kind of was like, every time I saw it. But I finally watched it the other day, and it's a really good, tight little movie. The description on it says, in the cold, wintry fields of New England, a lonely old house wakes up every 30 years and demands a sacrifice. And so basically it's this couple, they move into this old house out in the middle of, out in the middle of the country, and they've lost a child, recently. And so they get into this house and they start to feel like maybe that child is there, but there's also something else there. And so people come into the home, like a guy comes down to work on their furnace and he winds up not coming back up from the basement. And it turns out there's sort of a kind of a little folk horror vibe to it as well from the townspeople. But this thing was pretty creepy. I thought it had some good slow burn moments at first. And a pretty good cast, including Barbara Crampton.
Yeah, so. Yeah, she's good. Never, even if the movie's not so great, she's always great. She's always good. Always.
Yeah, she's great, and of course she's from Reanimator.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a
movie with her too, so that's I've got that claim to fame. It's called Blood Brothers. I'm in it for about 30 seconds, and in that time, I get shot, I get run over by a car, I get stabbed, and I get my head blown off, I think.
All in 30 seconds?
All in 30 seconds, basically, yeah. It's a very quick, I mean, he goes after me, and yeah.
Does he? Yeah.
I die a lot.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
That's a tour de force right there.
Well, it's funny, because you've got like a minute of screen time, basically, because I'm a jogger, and he's going after me. And I'm like, I'm in the trailer for the movie four times. It's just because they needed a good kill, and I was a good kill. So
nice.
I think you should have ran faster.
Yeah,
I guess so. I was very well. He hit me, man. He hit me with the car. So, and of course, I decided I really wanted to do that stunt because I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I kind of hurt myself a little bit, but it was fun. Yeah. I don't regret it.
The only stunt I did in a movie was, Joe might remember this one, Beauty Queen Butcher, that we both did
classic
back in the day. Oh, and
did you say both in?
Weren't you in it?
No, I was in the audience watching it at the premiere.
Okay.
I was never in it, yeah.
But that was where we met. That's where we
but
met.
I did take nipples off the Sears catalog.
Yeah.
Throwback to last episode. Yeah.
The last episode, I thought that, you see, when Joe and I both lived in Chicago, he worked at Sears as a graphic artist. And I always thought all these years that one of his jobs was to erase nipples from the bra ads. And he never advanced that far.
Oh, shit. So that's a job? That's a real job?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. Photo retouching down there? Yeah. Oh, that's an actual job. This was like first real job in Chicago. So I would have had to work my way up the corporate ladder to try to, you know, erase nipples. So, but all this time Matt's been telling people that that's what I do and never proved him otherwise. So,
yeah, well, I didn't say that you're still doing it. I said that back then you were doing it, but you know, back in the '70s, those guys used to erase more than just nipples.
Oh
yeah. I'm sure.
They were barbers.
Yeah. Can you put that little bump thing in there, Joe?
I'll see what I can do.
Joe is also our producer, so he does all the post.
Love it.
So, okay. So that was We Are Still Here, which I do recommend. I think it's a pretty good one. So
nice.
Joe.
Okay. This movie that I saw was an absolute triumph, not because the movie was good, but because I got to see it in the theaters.
Oh, wow.
Our theaters are open over here. So I got to go see Freaky with Vince Vaughn.
Yes.
Catherine Newton. It's a Christopher Landon film. You probably remember him from Happy Death Day, but this is the, like, a new twist on Freaky Friday. You know, it's a body swapping type of movie, and it's basically the deranged serial killer is who's swapping bodies with a high school girl, and she wakes up the next day and she realizes she's in this 6.5 foot tall lumbering Vince Vaughn body, and she's only got 24 hours to get the spell reversed, or she's going to be stuck like that for the rest of her life. And on top of that, she's also being fingered and blamed for all these murders that she's been doing throughout the town. This movie is self-aware. It knows exactly what it is. It's not trying to be The Shining. It's not trying to be Silence of the Lambs. It knows it's a teenage horror thriller comedy. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I mean, it was wonderful, honestly, just to see a movie in the theater. So it could have been absolute garbage and I would have loved it. But it's got, you know, it's certainly not a comedy. It's certainly not for the faint of heart. It's there are some very good jump scares in it. There's a tremendous kill in this film with Alan Ruck, his name, Cameron Fry from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He plays a shop teacher, and there's a tremendous kill in the shop class. It was the highlight of the movie, in my opinion.
I reckon that completely. Yeah. By the way, everything you're saying, I love this movie.
The biggest downfall, I thought, was there was an ending. And they could have wrapped up everything right at that point. But then there's a second ending that adds like another 10 minutes to the movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like it was necessary. It didn't really add a whole lot to it. But still, overall, like I said, it's not trying to be anything spectacular. So just based off of what it is, it was well worth the watch. Yeah. Actually, oddly enough, the original title of this movie was supposed to be Freaky Friday the 13th. And it takes place on Friday the 13th and was released on Friday the 13th.
Yes, it was.
So it was very fitting, but they decided to just shorten it back to Freaky.
That's marketing, Joe. That's marketing.
That's damn good marketing right
there. Well, I think I believe there may have been a legal issue. I believe that they weren't allowed to use the title.
I have no idea if that is true, but I still think it's the best option because don't want to associate yourself with that, especially with the audience you're trying to reach. You know, I don't want to say it's family friendly, but it is a little bit more family friendly than a Jason movie.
Yes, absolutely. So, although those kills, man, I was not just,
I was very impressed.
Yeah, they went and they're a lot of practical. It wasn't just CG. It was like there was
right.
I kept seeing that Alan Ruck scene, and I kept imagining Jason in the background going, "Oh, it's brilliant! Yes. Bravo!"
like he's so proud.
I love that.
Well, and actually, the mask that Vince Vaughn wears in the film was sort of designed as like a flesh version of Jason's mask. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they were trying for this whole Friday the 13th thing from the very get go.
Yeah.
But still, I would give this thing three cuts. I mean, it's definitely worth a watch, especially if you can just get out of your house and go to the theater again.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this movie. I've been hearing a lot about it, and I think I saw you post something about it, maybe, Jimmy. But
I did the junket for that one, so I did the interview, some interviews.
That's
for
right.
It. Yeah,
that's right. And that's the one that you interview with Vince Vaughn, right?
Yes, I did. That's one of the times. He's a lovely gentleman. I enjoy talking to him quite a bit.
So, Jimmy, what have you seen? What's a movie you've seen recently?
Well, I want to give a shout out. There's a film that is, I think, should definitely be seen, and it's on Netflix, so anyone can watch it. It's called His House. It's about a couple, and I'm not going to even try to do their names because I will
fuck
it up. It's a fantastic film. It's one of the best films of the year. It's about these refugees that escape a war-torn area in Africa. They come to England. And they're treated badly because they're illegal immigrants, and they're able to get asylum. But the thing about it is, and this is always a tricky thing to do in horror films and haunted house movies in particular, they're like, okay, well, you cannot leave this house. If you cause any trouble, your asylum's done. You can't go. You have to go. So they're basically this poor woman, this poor guy stuck in this house, and they're tormented by this demonic force. But it's nothing like your typical it's nothing like your typical like Conjuring I love The Conjuring, don't get me wrong, but it feels really relevant. It feels very refreshing. It's incredibly smart, and oh my God, what a great film. I highly recommend it. I mean, that's about as close to a perfect film as you can get when it comes to horror.
Yeah, I think I talked about this one a couple weeks ago, I believe.
Yeah,
during Shocktober, and I agree. I think that it's that horror is the perfect venue to explore some of the issues of our day, and you can do it in a way that doesn't clobber people over the head with the issue, but it's part of it, you know.
Yeah,
and so their immigration status and their as asylum seekers certainly is relevant in a lot of ways to here and in England, mm-hmm. but it also sets up the situation too. It's part of the, so they're stuck in this haunted house. They can't really make a big deal about it because they don't want to be sent back to, where were they from? Somalia, I believe, or
I think it was Africa. Yeah. Well, someplace I forgot which part. Refuge. Oh shoot. Oh, I'm going to look it up because it's going to bother me. Hold on. I had it up here. Hold on. Let me see. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. They,
we'll put that intermission music in there for Monty Python.
They basically, you know, so they're really stuck because if they make a big deal about this, then they might be sent back. But at the same time, they're stuck in this house with this thing. And then, you know, then there's some question as to whether or not it matters where they live, you know, mm-hmm. because there's some aspect to this haunting that might have come with them.
South Sudan is where they're from.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
There you go.
So my next movie is, what was this one? Oh yeah, Possessor.
Ooh.
And this one just came out, directed by Brandon Cronenberg, who is the son of David Cronenberg, famous horror director.
Yeah, he's done a couple of things.
Yeah, he's done a few. This one, oh God, this was such a good movie. This might be, it's up there with my favorites of this year. It follows an agent who works for a secretive organization that uses brain implant technology to inhabit other people's bodies, ultimately driving them to commit assassinations for high-paying clients. So basically, you could just be some Joe Blow working
plug
it all wraps up working someplace, and if you happen to be working near a guy that this agency needs to assassinate, well, these people could inhabit your body through this technology. It it sounds kind of gimmicky, but it's not the way it plays out. It's very slow burn, very art house. It stars the woman from
Andrea Riseborough.
Andrea Riseborough, who played Mandy in the movie Mandy, which is one of my favorite movies of the last decade. Jennifer Jason Leigh, Christopher Abbott, who was in Girls, actually. That was the first place I saw him anyway. But it is a really good movie. It's tense. Fantastic. It is brutal, graphic. I believe I'm pretty sure it's all practical effects. I'd be shocked if it weren't, or if there is any CGI, it's only enhancement CGI, but it's quite brilliant. And I really had a good time with it from 2020. That is again, Possessor. Joe.
All right, Jimmy, one thing you'll learn about this show is we have no rhyme or reason of the movies that we choose to review.
No worries.
And sticking with that, I'm pulling an old-time favorite out of my back pocket, Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1978. Donald Sutherland, Brooke Adams, Jeff Goldblum, Veronica Cartwright, Leonard Nimoy is in this film. This is a ultimate classic favorite of mine. I did find out that an interesting fact about there's a character named Harry the Homeless Guy. He's sitting on a bench playing a banjo. Mm-hmm. He's not actually playing it. Jerry Garcia from Grateful Dead is the guy that actually recorded the banjo soundtrack for Harry the Homeless Guy.
I did not know that.
And I also found out that Ben Burtt was the guy that did the sound design for that show. His wife was pregnant at the time, and he did an actual audio recording of his wife's ultrasound, and that was the sound that they used for the pods growing in the film. So wonderful, I guess, Foley artwork back then. It's obviously a must-see if you are into horror and you haven't seen this yet. Plus, this is a remake. The original was in 1956. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one after that and another one after that. You had to have seen something along these lines somewhere in your lifetime. One thing, though, I would love to see somebody do a take on this is from the standpoint of normal people that are afraid to be turned into pods. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see a movie from the pods' point of view, from the pod people. You know, maybe they're trying to make humanity better. You know, maybe there's a justifiable reason for that, not just because they've lost their home or whatever, but maybe they're actually here to help. You know, that'd be a nice, new, clean spin on this. So, Jim, go ahead. You can take that idea.
Yeah. And produce something
and Naked Gun, put that together and you got a movie.
Well, that's where I think the movie, the Will Smith version of I Am Legend really missed out, is that that's kind of what happens at the end of the book is, he goes around during the day killing all these vampires while they sleep. And then at the end he gets captured by the vampires and he realizes all these vampires are terrified of him and that he's a legend, you know, that he's the creepy thing that creeps into their rooms during the day and kills them. So he was the stuff of nightmares for vampires.
For them, yeah.
But of course that version didn't do that. They didn't go that route. But Jimmy, you got another one?
Yeah, you know what? I was going to surprise, because I was doing recent ones when I was thinking about the show, but I'm like, I'm going to go back in time. That's because I feel like every Halloween I tend to represent this movie. I say represent because it's a fantastic film. The 1980 film, The Changeling. The Angelina Jolie movie. The George C. Scott, Trish Van Devere. Yeah. I think I'm saying her name right. What a marvelous, horrifying, powerful, amazing movie, which holds up shockingly well. Like even today, so it takes place whether after George C. Scott loses his wife and child. That's a tragic event, and he's a composer, so he rents this beautiful old mansion. Well, maybe not beautiful. He rents an old mansion, an old spooky mansion, and weird shit starts to happen. And I remember seeing this as a kid and just being like I remember not wanting to step off my bed because I was like, wait, is there a little boy like in the, you know, trying to get out of my floor? There's so many images and so many moments. The sound design is exceptional. I don't know why this isn't considered up there with The Shining or, The Exorcist. I think it's one of the best horror films ever made. And I want to give I believe Peter Medak is the director. Yes, Peter Medak is the director. So I got to give that movie props. What a wonderful film.
Yeah, I think people that have seen it actually do put it up there with The Shining. I know I do. Matt, I'm sure, does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fantastic film.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one of my all-time favorite movies. And I do.
Actually, Matt introduced me to that film way back in college.
Yeah. Of course you would, Matt. You're a good guy. I know it.
Yep. Now, that one terrified me when I was in, I think I was in middle school when I saw that one on a rerun on HBO. And that movie is, well, it's highly influential. You'll see, if you see a seance movie or a seance scene in almost anything, a lot of them will have, especially the ones where the medium is writing something, you know, I've seen that a few times, directly influenced by The Changeling. And George C. Scott, I mean, this is a big time actor, as weighty a name as there is in acting at that time. It's directed with such care. It's not a throwaway film at all. It cares about the story. It's got an amazing script. It's got everything. And that scene, well, the scene where the kid's coming up through the floorboard and then in the bathtub is, I mean, I just got goosebumps thinking about it. Yeah, but the seance afterwards, when he sits down with that tape recorder and starts playing, and he just hears that voice and then rewinds it. And he does that like five times. They take their time. And that's what I just love it when a film isn't afraid to take its time and doesn't look down on its audience. Like, well, they're going to get bored if he does this five times or whatever, however many times it was. No, they trusted that their audience is not going to be bored by that, but actually be sucked in more. Yeah. I love that movie.
Me too. Me too.
The only other one I have is 1979's When a Stranger Calls. Just watched that the other day for the first time in many, many years. And I didn't really remember much about it except for the beginning. I remembered the beginning quite well. And obviously I think the first 20 minutes are basically a masterpiece of tension.
Absolutely.
And after that, I see what they were trying to do. I give it some props. There is a sleazy, almost noirish quality to it. Charles Durning plays a detective looking for this guy. Basically, it starts out a babysitter. And I tell you, every teenage girl, if you were a teenage girl in the 80s, or, well, 1979 and into the 80s, this movie terrified you. I wasn't a teenage girl, but I remember all the teenage girls in my neighborhood talking about this one. And, you know, the idea of somebody getting prank calls while they're babysitting and then the person being in the house, you know, all of that. It's a good setup. I think it gets a little off the rails at times in the middle. Mm-hmm. The ending I thought was pretty good. But that first 20 minutes, of course, Wes Craven did kind of an homage to it in Scream, that his opening scene with Drew Barrymore was a kind of a dedicated to this movie, that opening 20 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
So I thought that the first 20 minutes were scary. I thought the last 20 minutes were pretty scary. In the middle, there were some interesting things. It didn't quite work, but there were some interesting aspects to it.
Well, it was it kind of did what we were talking about earlier, put the focus on the killer. We were seeing the world through his eyes, which I think it works a little better than I remember. Like, I still love the movie, but yeah, it's a weird juxtaposition in the middle of this kind of, ooh, oh my gosh, is he going to get her? Is he going to get her? I'm like, wait a second, we're just seeing this guy walk around and kill hookers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. But it's obviously a classic, and it brought a sequel, which I have still not seen. I think the sequel was a TV movie.
It was a direct to video or TV movie. I highly recommend it. It is really good. It's another one where the first 20 minutes will chill you to the bone. Mm. And I think it manages to do it a little better in the as a whole film, because the focus is on Carol Kane and Jill Schoen and right. Charles Durning instead of the killer. We know a little bit about the killer, but it's, I think it does a better job at balancing. I in a way, it's a better film.
I'll have to check it out. Maybe look at it next time.
Yeah.
Joe, did you have another one?
Yeah, this will be my last one for the night. I watched Tusk, Kevin Smith's yes. Tusk. And I want to get this out of the way right off the bat. I've been a Kevin Smith fan since the beginning.
He has.
Clerks all the way up. I've seen everything the guy's done. I've met him at Comic Cons from time to time. I listened to his podcast.
Yeah, most guys were talking about Kevin Smith about the time Chasing Amy came out, maybe, or Mallrats. Yeah. But Joe was talking about Kevin Smith from the minute Clerks came out.
As a matter of fact, I have a Kevin Smith and a Jason Mewes autographed baseball. And it was so apropos that I was able to walk up to him and ask him, could you please sign my balls? And he got a nice big kick out of it. So,
And anyway, Jimmy just interviewed Kevin Smith.
Yeah, he was on the last episode of Sound Scary. So there you go.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one yet, but I'm definitely going to be watching it. So
it's amazing. He's amazing to interview. You don't even need to ask a question. You just go, hey, how are you? Okay, well, let me tell you the blah, blah, blah.
Come back in an hour and you can hit stop on the recording for him. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, for those of you at home that have not seen this, this is a story of two guys, Justin Long and Haley Joel Osment, that put on this podcast. How fitting is that? Of course, theirs is called The Nazi Party, N-O-T-S-E-E, total Kevin Smith wit. Haley Joel Osment apparently does not travel, so Justin Long, the other host, he has to go up to Canada because he was going to try to get an interview with this kid who just accidentally lost his leg on the internet. And by the time he gets up to Canada, he finds out the kid has killed himself. So he's stuck up in Ontario, I believe. And he doesn't want to go home empty-handed, so he's looking for somebody else to interview. And he sees this advertisement on the bathroom wall in a bar where someone is offering free lodging for anyone as long as they, when they come into the house, they basically become and live as a walrus from time to time. That's the trade-off. And he finds it so oddly fascinating that he goes to call on this guy to interview him. And the character's name is Howard Howe. However, it's played by the fantastic Michael Parks. Yeah. This guy is a serial killer at its best. And I want to compare this movie to Silence of the Lambs. Because in its core, that girl that got abducted and was left in that pit with the lotion and the basket. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I'm going to spoil this, but eventually Justin Long gets drugged and blacked out and he wakes up and he's got a leg missing. And then later on another one, and his arms are sewn to his body and his tongue is removed. This guy, Michael Parks, had this fascination with this walrus and this wonderful story that he had told, and he's basically sewing him into a walrus suit made out of skin, human skin. This by its core is just terrifying. I mean, if you walk into somebody's house and you have a drink of tea, and next thing you know, your life is over as you know it, and you're living in this human built walrus suit. That's terrifying. And that's why I wanted to say at the very beginning that I'm a Kevin Smith fan. If this movie had just removed the immature Kevin Smith, funny, ha-ha stuff, the basically Johnny Depp ruined the movie for me. Johnny Depp is in this film as a French detective named Guy Lapointe. And it's just that aspect of it, that funny character, really draws you out of it. But I think if you were to boil out all that extra garbage and just look at the core of this movie, it is chilling.
That's chill. And I got to give credit to, and she's one of my favorite people in the world, but Genesis Rodriguez kicks fucking ass in that movie.
Yes.
Oh my God. She's a damn good actress. I love her. I love Jenny, and she's great. And she will be on our second season of Sound Scary. So.
Oh, great.
Yes.
and the thing that I found out that I love the best about this film was the concept was not something Kevin Smith, you know, came up with. He stumbled upon it by accident. There was a British like Craigslist type thing called the Gumtree, and there was a guy by the name of Chris Parkinson, I believe, and he wrote this advertisement. He put it basically on this British Craigslist as, you know, Howard Howe asking for people to come and live at his house and just act like a walrus from time to time. And Kevin Smith saw this and thought it was real. Mm-hmm. And they started building him and Kevin Mosher or is it
Kevin Scott Mosher?
Scott Mosher. Yeah. Yes. Him and Scott Mosher came up with this whole movie concept, and midway through it, they found out it was a hoax and still were able to craft this fantastic film off of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the story behind the story was more fascinating than the story itself. Mm-hmm. You know, but I've seen this movie probably 6-7 times. I know I'll watch it at least another 6 or 7. It's just, it's too good to pass up. I gotta watch this like every 3-4 months. So it's fantastic film if you haven't seen it. Yeah,
I agree. I love it. I'm a big fan.
Matt, have you seen that?
No, actually, I haven't. That's one that I haven't checked out.
It's so unusual. And so, Johnny Depp's not my favorite character in it, but I don't mind it. But everything else works so well. It's such a good, I love what Kevin did with that. I love that he kind of played around with the genre and didn't necessarily do the typical horror film. He did a Kevin Smith horror film like he did with Red State.
Red State, really. Yeah.
And I didn't even hate Yoga Hosers. I thought that was very entertaining. I was like, okay, this is cute. Kind of funny.
That's funny.
And then he's got another one still left to do in this Canadian trilogy, right? Like Moose Jaw.
That, and you can find a little bit about that on Sound Scary.
Wonderful.
Nice. Awesome. Nice, we'll have plug to check that out. Yeah. Jimmy, one of the questions I was going to ask you, this is, we're now shifting into the interview portion. How's that for a segue?
I loved it.
Or segue. Is it segue or segue?
Segue.
Yeah. There we go. We'll figure this out. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is, I know because you are a mover and shaker in this business, you're probably the hardest working man in horror that I know personally.
Shucks.
I don't know many people in horror personally, though. So, what inside scoop do you have on upcoming movies? Have you seen anything like in the festival circuits or anything like that? Or
there's the serial killer. Apparently,
there it is.
Yeah. You got away.
You know, the I haven't seen. I've seen a few new movies that have really impressed me. That are, you know, that they are available now. Mostly, I would absolutely put Freaky up there. The Wolf of Snow Hollow is a wonderful movie, Jim Cummings movie. I think one of the, and it's not necessarily horror, but it certainly fits in genre, is Dylan O'Brien in Love and Monsters. Oh my God, that thing's a joy. It's like, it's not scary, but it's, the monsters are cool, and you like, the idea is really, it's a smart movie, and you're actually like, Dylan O'Brien gives one of my favorite performances in the movie, in not only in that film, but just of the year. I loved his work in it because it feels so natural. It feels so vulnerable. It's just about a guy who's kind of a loser who had a girlfriend and, you know, the world ends. And so they're all kind of stuck in these, like, kind of like what we're doing now, stuck in our houses, except they're groups of people. And he realizes the love of his life is alive. Only 80 miles away. I think it's 80, something like that. So he has to travel across land that is basically hunted, and he's hunted down by giant insects, just giant insects everywhere. And, giant crabs, giant everything. And, it's such a charming movie. And he meets Michael Rooker along the way, and the little girl, and I cannot remember her name, and it pains me because she's great. I love this film. I adore it. And it's one of the, I think it's one of my favorite movies of the year. It's
where's that so available? Unique.
That is all over. You can find that on VOD. You can find that I highly recommend it.
So it's for rent right now.
It's for rent. Yeah. I'm trying to think I've seen anything like up and coming that hasn't come out that I can talk about. Because a lot, you know, generally you see a press screening and they're like, oh yeah, don't, especially horror. That may shock you, but yeah, they're like, okay, don't talk about this film until 2 days before it's released. But I'm trying to think what I've seen recently that is horror. The last thing, nothing really horror like that's coming out.
Okay. So what got you into horror?
Oh gosh. I mean, Halloween, the original Halloween. I saw it as a kid and I was so profoundly moved because I'm like, this movie made me feel things I've never, and I was a kid. I was 7, I believe, when I saw it. And I'm watching this terrifying man just go after this poor girl. And it's funny. I just watched that again for the, who knows how many times I've seen that film. It works so well, and it works on an emotional level, and it works on a very smart level. And I like the idea that you could take something so terrifying and create a movie and get people to go and, oh my gosh, jump and get scared. And I was instantly hooked. And then I would watch every single slasher movie I could get into. I love them all. I've got the Boogans back here. That's an underrated monster movie. I love that movie. I was just obsessed with slasher, like the, you know, the Friday the 13th, the Nightmare on Elm Street's, all of it. I loved, and I still do. And I wish we had more. That's why I like Freaky so much, because it was nice to see a slasher movie again. We haven't seen one of those in ages, really, you know. Yeah. So
would you say slasher is your favorite genre?
Definitely in horror. I love slasher, but I also like. I like most horror in general. I mean, my only, as I get older, like I'm not as, I don't necessarily need to see the goriest thing ever. I'm not as in love with gore as I did as when I was a kid. You know, I'm not going to sit and rewatch Saw 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 over and over again. Cause I don't know if that affects me as much as it used to, but I still love horror. I think I'm getting a little nostalgic when it comes to it. I find myself going back to a lot of the slashers.
Yeah, no, I do too. In fact, this last Shocktober was a lot of slasher films, and of course Halloween. That was also my gateway into it. And I told this story when we were, I think our first episode, we were talking about what got us into horror, and mine was Halloween as well. Mm. On Halloween night, NBC showed Halloween on Halloween night in 1980. In fact, John Carpenter even shot some footage for the television version because they had to cut so much stuff out. And my brother and I got out pillows and blankets, popcorn, and lay down on the floor and watched it on Halloween night. There was wind blowing by the house. It was like the perfect setting. And I was hooked after that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's a common, but I was scared of horror movies when I was younger than that though. When I was really little, I was terrified. Like a commercial of a horror movie came on, that commercial for the movie Magic, when that came on.
Oh yeah.
Scared me to death.
Yeah. That's a great trailer too.
Oh God. Yes. That trailer.
The trailer is scarier than the movie.
By far. Way scarier. I mean, it's a good movie. Don't get me wrong, but that trailer is awesome.
Oh yeah. In fact, it's almost misleading because the movie wasn't as scary as that trailer.
No, not really a horror film. Not really.
Not really. No. No. Psychological.
Psychological thriller. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we're getting to that point where, coming close
my
to being
favorite
out of,
part
we're getting to that point on where first I think you said you have a ghost story, right?
I do. I have I have several. I've been, because look, I've always been kind of fascinated with the paranormal, and it's always kind of excited me, and I've gone through phases where I was like, well, I was a little less believing in that, but having spent the past few years getting to know Nick Ruff, I've had my own experiences. And
well, you were on Ghost Adventures at one point too, because I remember watching it one time, and all of a sudden you pop up. I think you had a mohawk at the time.
And good memory.
And I was like, wait a minute, that's Jimmy.
Yeah, it was. So I was at David Oman's house, and he bought. Oh, right already with serial killers. They're loose everywhere. he has a house about, I would say, 50 yards from where Sharon Tate was murdered. And that's where he built his house, right on Cielo Drive. And so I've been to the house several times. And I'll break it down. I'll give you probably the creepiest, at least for me. We they covered an event there. It was the Blu-ray release of the Poltergeist remake. So they did it at his house, and he was all excited, and I knew him, so I could kind of go early and I could kind of talk to him about it, so I could kind of get a little bit more insight, and because they had someone doing a séance, they had someone people hired to show him around. And of course, David's loving it because this place, literally, you go into this house, shit will happen. That's just the way it is. It's like, they call it the Disneyland of the dead, I believe is the phrase they use. And I remember me and my partner were, my cameraman were just filming shit, and it was about 1 a.m. And one of the things that kept happening was there's a little piano toy that kept going off. Specifically, it kept going off when people would mention it. So that, you're like, well, it could be the low battery thing, but no, there was something spectacularly creepy about it. So at the end of the night, everyone had left except me and my buddy Ryan, who was my Sound Scary co-host. And we're shooting my intro. And as I say, weird stuff happens, that little piano goes off. And we're like, oh, cool, this is cool. And David comes in, starts talking about what's going on, and we're like, oh yeah, he was like, anything weird happened? I'm like, yes, some weird stuff happened, definitely. At one point I was about to go into a bathroom, and it's like someone banged on the door, and I was like, oh sorry. And so I waited. There was no one in there. There was nobody in there because David came down, and I'm like, dude, I'm waiting for the other invite. Someone like banged on the door, and it happened twice. He opened the door. It was fine. Nothing. No one was in there. Wow. So when we went to put this footage together, and you can find this on our Joe Blow webpage, because this was for Joe Blow, you actually hear, once that piano goes off while I'm doing my intro, you hear a little girl giggling. Again, this is 1 a.m. There is no little girl there. And then we move over to do the little, hey, is anything weird happen? Blah, blah, blah. Right when I say, yeah, a couple weird things happen, you hear a little girl say, here's something. It was clear as day. We got a lot of stuff that day. And it was really cool. And I don't get really creeped out. I try to, I've done the Washoe Club and Virginia City, Nevada, which is super creepy and cool. I love going to Virginia City. It's such a wildly creepy town, and there's so many. I had a really weird experience there. I have hundreds of experiences. I don't want to bore you there a lot, but that was probably one of the creepiest.
We will have to have you back to tell us some more.
I'd love to. Yeah,
for sure. Well, I've got one.
Okay.
That was sent to us by her name is Leslie Ebert Kozel. She messaged us on the CineScare website, or not
Thank
on the
you,
website.
Leslie.
Thank you, Leslie, for sending it, and we'll send you this nice CineScare sticker.
Ooh, I like it.
We'll send
something
you
no
we'll
hydro flask could do without.
We'll send you one too, Jimmy.
Oh yeah.
Cool. I don't know why I'm holding it up to the camera, because no one.
So everybody at home can see it, Matt.
Exactly.
It's radio.
Literally dozens of people. Yeah. So Leslie Ebert Kozel, let's get serious now, because this girl, she never believed in ghosts, Joe. She was a major skeptic. She had a lot of issues with ghosts, and most of them had to do with the not believing kind. Whatever that means. But 15 years ago, she moves to Minnesota, which I think is maybe the scariest part of the whole story.
Minnesota.
Actually. Terrifying. Yeah. Terrifying.
And I remember back in the 90s, Joe, you were actually seriously considering moving to Minnesota. Do you remember?
I was.
Do you remember what it was? I think, as I recall anyway, one of the big factors that kept you from moving there?
The cold?
Nope.
Prince?
Nope.
I don't know.
Fargo. The movie Fargo. I remember
you went
to see that and you said, I cannot live around people who talk like that.
The accents and the log chippers. I won't go near a log chipper.
Don't get me wrong. All of you Minnesota people, Joe's anti-Minnesota, not me. I love Minnesota. I think it's a perfectly fine place.
Take off, hoser. That's Canada, I guess.
Minnesota.
Yes.
So she moved, Leslie and her husband, They moved there 15 years ago and they find a house. The previous owner decided that she was an older person and she needed a condo because the house was too big for the upkeep, you know. But as soon as they got in there, stuff started happening. They started hearing unexplainable noises. Not creaks or settling kinds of noises, Joe. I know what you're thinking. I can see it in your eyes right now. You're thinking, oh, that's just a house settling.
No, I'm thinking like horrible screams in the middle of the night. You know, like nightmares again.
But. Well, not that either. So, no. But one of the things that they heard was the creak. They had a hand towel rack in the bathroom. And when you pulled the hand towel from the rack, it would make a creaking noise, right? They would hear that, and of course, they'd go and look. No one's in there. The haunted hand towel. They'd hear things in the night, footsteps. They'd hear knocking on the doors and walls. Why are you laughing about that? I'm trying to be
because I was expecting like the scary washcloth and you know the naughty beach towel or something next. Go ahead.
You know what, Leslie? This guy is completely ruining your whole story. One night.
I'm enjoying it.
One night, Leslie was asleep. Now, her husband was down in the basement, and this is obviously in an area where people have basements, which I can tell you, Jimmy, I don't know if – have you always lived in L.A.?
No, I had a basement in Utah for a few years when I lived there as a kid, and it was fucking terrifying.
Was it a creepy, scary basement?
Oh, my God, yeah. I used to hear voices down there. I could swear to God it was haunted. I could swear to God.
Man, you're full of them. We got to have you back.
Yeah.
The house that I grew up in had a very creepy basement too. It was not furnished. It was scary down there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But other people in the Midwest, they have these basements and they have, it's like a whole nother level of, you know, Joe has this giant basement, by the way.
Ooh, that cool. There's a throw rug and everything.
It's insane. Well, Joe's house is like, it's like a manor. It should have a name. But
it does,
anyway,
Newcastle.
Oh, is that what you're calling it?
Well, that's nice. What somebody called it that.
Oh, I might have. Maybe I called it. I know, your other home, I called it, what was that name?
Stradmore?
Stradlow.
Yes. Stradlow, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so one night she's sleeping and her husband fell asleep watching TV downstairs. So she hears the sound of somebody. They had like an entryway, right? A big entryway where the staircase goes down to the entryway and it's made of tile. And so there's a distinct sound you hear when people are walking on that tile. And she kept hearing someone walking, clomping around on this tile. And she's like, what is, I'm just going to call him John. I don't know her husband's name. What is John doing down there? And so she gets up and she's going to go down and give him what for? Like, it's the middle of the night. You're keeping me up with this clomping around. John's not down there. She still hears the clomping around, though, while she's standing in this entryway. So eventually her husband comes up because he hears it downstairs, too. And he's like, what's going on? Why are you moving around up here? What are you doing? She's like, I'm not. So they stood there listening to somebody walking around on the tile.
Oh, my gosh.
Arguing, blaming the other.
Ah, yes, of course.
So
it had to have been you.
She goes down there. She's looking around. She can't find anything. She and her husband stood there listening while the sound continued. So later, Joe, This is the kicker right here. Later, they decide they'd go ask the neighbors if they had ever heard the previous owner talk about anything strange or unusual happening in the house. And the neighbor tells them that the old woman's husband died in that house. Ooh. And that's
on
it.
On the stairs?
Yeah.
I believe he died in the vestibule.
In the hallway? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what ultimately I think it is just the energy that we leave behind. I think at some point we'll be able to give a more scientific, a label to it. But I do believe, certainly, like Joe, you're saying, sometimes, oh, it's a house huddling or this, that. Come on with it. Oh, my God. Like, literally, I never hear ambulances until tonight, right now.
No, we're dedicating this episode to first responders everywhere.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. But
what is going on? What is it, a war zone you're living in? What's going on?
I'm in San Fernando Valley, so it's not that. I'm not in LA.
Yeah. At least we're not hearing helicopters, right?
Well, we will soon. Yes. We get those every night.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming by and participating in our little shindig.
That was a blast.
It's been great.
Yes. Thank you very much, Jimmy. That was wonderful.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
We will have to have you back on again.
I just want to do a quick plug. This Friday we have my new podcast I think it's episode 6 where it's called Something Stony, where me and my co-host Justin Butts get high and talk about shit. So that's we do it live. I'm getting stoned live on Friday nights. That's what I'm doing. So a very it's honestly a fun show, and we talk a lot about horror. We talk about pretty much everything, politics, you name it. We talk about everything. It's kind of a nice little break to, just get high and talk shit.
Nice. That sounds like a fun show.
And I'd like to plug for you the Scary Sounds.
Sounds Scary?
I do want people to go out and listen to that. I was hooked with the Ian Honeyman, very first episode.
So great.
The idea of going to interview the guys that are responsible for setting the real mood, creating the music and the scores for these films, I thought was top notch.
What I love about Sound Scary is we talk to everybody. We just had a double 1-2 punch where we shot two shows in a row. It was one with James Duval and one with the Marcus Dunstan. And it's like, so we get to, it's nice to get like, I had a comedian, for God's sake, Ronnie Pascal, who's
Ronnie Pascal, talented. Yeah.
And that was at the Mystic Museum where there was something actually happened at that. I'll save that for next time.
I loved his guitar.
Me too.
It was beautiful.
Me too. I'll tell him that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jimmy O. And we will definitely have to have you back if you'd like to come, because this was a great conversation. And we definitely want to hear more of your ghost stories, too. Maybe next time we can just devote most of the time to that. That would be great.
Sure.
Perfect. I love it. Anytime you guys want, just hit me up.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And please remember to send us your ghost stories, your personal ghost stories, or your hometown legends. Those would be great too. I know a lot of people have messaged me and said, well, I don't have time to write it all out. You can record your voice. And I had somebody do that. They recorded their story by voice. In fact, tonight's story, Leslie Kozel sent me a voice recording of her story because she didn't want to sit down and type it out. So that's a great way to do it too. And I'll just transpose it, and we kind of play around with it anyway, so it's fine. It's no big deal, but we definitely enjoy these stories, and so keep them coming. Sure. And I think this was a good episode. This is the one that you might want to wake the kids and phone the neighbors.
Let
them know.
I agree.
All right, well, I forgot, tomorrow or 2 days from now is Thanksgiving as we record this. So hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. Please be safe. Don't be hanging out with 50 people and doing something stupid, because the COVID rates are insane right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everything's getting shut down again. Wear your masks, stay separate, and only, you know, connect with a handful of people if you possibly can, please.
Yeah. Zoom. Have a Thanksgiving on Zoom. That's all you need.
Yep.
We do it, so can you.
Exactly.
So until next time, everybody, we will see you later.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.